You may be seated. Lord, we ask that you would share your word now through your Spirit. Amen. The prophet Jeremiah had been through the mill. As his ministry went on, he was referred to as the weeping prophet later on. He had an amazing ministry, prophesying to his people. And he prophesied through the reigns of five kings for 54 years. The northern king of Israel, the northern kingdom, had been ravaged and destroyed by the Assyrian army in around 722 BC. One of the great Israelite kings, Josiah, who had brought about a reform to bring the people back to God, had been killed in a battle with the Egyptian army. In the 6th century BC, Babylon, the great power in the Middle East, conducted four deportations of Israelites into Babylon, driving them into exile across the desert in chains, men and women and children. They ravaged the Temple of Solomon, that glorious place, stole all the precious things that were in it. In the third deportation, the temple was burned and razed to the ground, and more prisoners in the next exile taken. And as the Israelites languished in Babylon in exile, the lamentation went up. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered you, O Zion. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Well, God came to Jeremiah before this time and said, I want you to preach to my people. And he said, I took you from the womb. I set you upon this earth for a purpose. And Jeremiah, I think, had a fit. He said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm only a youth. How am I going to fulfill? You know who I have to face? The kings were actually very friendly toward God or his word. And Jeremiah was persecuted. And yet he obeyed and for 54 years prophesied through the reign of five kings. Jeremiah, I think, had a broken heart because he lamented many, many times over the plight of his people. It broke his heart to see his people, the way they were living, forgetting their God into idolatry. And he kept saying, you know, you're going to be carried away into exile. You've got to submit to that, and you've got to trust God, and you've got to repent for what you're doing. He was thrown into a cistern at one point and persecuted at others in other ways. And so Jeremiah had a lot of sorrow, but he also had a lot of hope. Hope in his glorious God. And that sustained him. He ended up himself being exiled into Egypt, where he died. But you know, when I read this, I think, well, this is kind of a depressing passage, but on the other hand, very instructive. What happens when a nation forgets God? Now, we know that God can be vindicated, right? God never causes evil. I don't believe he's ever the direct cause of calamity or distress in our lives or in the life of a nation. There are consequences to the human will, to the choices that we make. There are always consequences. And besides that, I think just in living life, there's a collateral damage that happens. Just life itself brings all kinds of things upon us, which God does allow. But he's always there loving giving a way out and a way of peace and a way of restoration always. So his response, you know, Jeremiah is quite overcome, but there he goes. So you fast forward about 500 years, and Jesus is in the synagogue in Nazareth where he grew up. And he gives that amazing prophecy from Isaiah 61. I have come to bring release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. He is proclaiming that now it's been fulfilled, that he is the Messiah, and he's going to be God's messenger, God's deliverer. But, you know, he's coming to a people who are not ready to hear it. And truly, the words spoken are ringing in our ears. No prophet is without honor except in his own hometown. And he goes on, he says, you know, you are my people. God, you are God's people, but you have rejected your God. In the times of Elijah, there were many widows suffering through the famine for 3.5 years. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except a widow in Sidon. But the thing is, she was a Gentile. And he said, in the days of Elisha, there were many lepers that could have been healed, but Elisha sent to none of them except Naaman the Syrian. And he might add that he was a Gentile. Israel forfeited what God could do for them through their disobedience. And of course, they were furious and tried to throw him off the cliff on which the town was built. So as I was preparing this sermon, I read about, you know, what Israel had experienced. I thought of our world today. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me that the world is not what it was even a year ago. It has turned down, I would say, into a decline. We're looking at a scenario which could very well be the time prophesied to come. We have insecurity growing. We have fear. We have mistrust in our leaders. We have aggression and corruption and the lust for power and control. A lack of integrity where we look. And, you know, there's so much at stake. The life of our nation. We look at our government. We look at things south of the border. And we're saying, you know, where's our security, right? And we know where our security lies. We know where it lies as Christians. And I always think, you know, at the Parliament buildings in Ottawa, over the main door, there's an inscription carved in the stone from Psalm 72. He shall have dominion from sea to sea. When we were formed as a nation under Confederation in 1867, the British North America Act was based on the premise that God is sovereign, that God was to be obeyed and feared and trusted. That was the premise on which our nation was built. And it just seems that it's been eroded. It's been eroded. So where is our security? We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our leaders of all parties at all levels of government. And you know, then I looked at this kind of depressing part from the lectionary, but then I looked at our epistle for today. Not depressing at all. The love chapter from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, not self-seeking, it does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It does not keep a record of wrongs. It always protects, always trusts and hopes and perseveres. We know there is only one power in this world that can overcome the power, the control, the aggression, the lack of honesty, the lack of truth. There's only one power, and that is the love of God that can overcome all of that. And when His love grows in our hearts, in the hearts of the church, and if His love is manifested through our lives to people who are living without Christ, that love can have tremendous power, tremendous power. Like people, I think when they're confronted with real love, it disarms them. They don't know how to respond, because here's someone relating to them not out of the secular mindset, not out of a self-centered kind of attitude. Here are people relating to them out of forgiveness and mercy, pointing them to Christ, pointing them to the cross, and the fact that God became human in Christ. What a radical thing, but what a transforming thing that is. You and I have amazing power in our sphere of influence, you know, in our workplace, in our families, here, and wherever we go. We have amazing power with the Holy Spirit living in us and projecting this kind of love, this unmitigated, pure, pristine love of God to those who we contact every day of our lives. That's the only thing that's going to change the world, is the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His power and His love. So we need every day to get off the treadmill of life, to leave behind the fear and the insecurity that we feel, and to trust Him, because He's standing with His arms open wide and He says, just trust me, just trust me. He's told me that so many times over the years. Just trust me. And we know the point at which He speaks to the soul and the heart, and we know the point at which we begin to, every day, we begin to turn, right? We turn from ourselves to Him, and we begin to perceive within ourselves what it means to turn, and how He's changing us, and how He's bringing peace, and how He's calming our nerves, how He's just taking over and bringing that love and that grace to bear upon our spirits. And that's what it's all about. So let us pray for each other. Continue to pray for all whom we meet every day and for our leaders, that truly the wisdom would prevail, the power of God would prevail over all that is done. Because we of all people have the greatest reason to hope for our future. Lord, we thank You for the message of hope and restoration that You always bring. Help us, Lord, to truly always be informed of what's going on, but also to come to You with humble hearts that we might truly be restored, and to pass that on to all those around us. In Your name we pray. Amen.